John 10. This is where our Savior speaks to us about the kingdom of heaven and about Him as the shepherd of that kingdom. We read the first 10 verses this morning of John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of our God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus this morning. And as we hear him speak to us, I pray that you would help us to understand what he means. That he is the door, the only entrance to the kingdom and to salvation. We pray that as we see him as he is, you would give us a love for him. And may we go from this place, not the same, but changed, more and more into the image of Jesus. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. Now this passage is quite remarkable, very rich, very deep. But I'd like to draw our attention to one aspect this morning. And that is, Jesus Christ is the door. He is the only way into the kingdom of God, into the flock, where we can be saved. Just as this building has doorways, access to this place is made possible by these doorways. Just as this is a place where we enter by a doorway, not by the window, we're not crawling in from the roof. So there is only one way into the church, into God's kingdom. Jesus is the door. That is the simple point of these few verses here that we read. He is the doorway. And I'd like to open up three aspects of this doorway. What is he a doorway into specifically? Well, he says there are three things. The first is that he is the door into the sheepfold. He is the door into the sheepfold. Secondly, he is the doorway to the true shepherds. Thirdly, he is the doorway into salvation. Those three things. He's the door into the sheepfold, the door to the shepherds, and the door to salvation. These are the three things. And my question to us this morning, to you and I, is what are we actually doing here in the Church of Jesus Christ? Have we entered by the door into the kingdom? Or have we tried another way? Why are you here this morning? Why do you want to be a member of the flock of Jesus Christ? Have you tried some other door? Maybe it's the doorway of your family or the doorway of your friends. Perhaps you're just lonely and you just want to be a part of a nice group. There are many different motivations that people have to become members of churches. Sometimes it's actually just to hear an entertaining preacher. They don't care so much for Jesus Christ. They hear about him, they see him from afar, but what they actually want is entertainment, lights, music perhaps. There are many different false doors into the kingdom of Christ. There are other more obvious ones like false doctrine. But have you entered the church through him? Is he your door into this community and larger to the community of all of the saved? Why have you entered? What way have you taken? This is the question before us this morning. But now let's look at how we access and to what we access. Let's look at the sheepfold. He is the door to the sheepfold. Well, the context is quite interesting. What is a sheepfold? Well, in the ancient times, first century, a sheepfold was something very basic. It was basically a wall around a certain area with a doorway which the shepherd would take the sheep into. Sometimes these walls were very primitive. It was just a bunch of rocks stacked on each other to form a wall around a green area, a grassy area. The shepherd would take the sheep out to pasture in the day. He would protect them. He would look over them. He would watch them. Because sheep in those days were very important. They were very valuable. He had a tough job. But then he would bring them back into a sheepfold, a protected, enclosed area where he would look after them through the night. And what are the purposes of the sheepfold? Well, there are many. Let's look at five. First, to keep the sheep together. Sheep were very valuable in those days, and sometimes sheep would just get lost by wandering off. So to keep them together, to keep them whole as a flock, he would bring them into the sheepfold in the night. But then there was another purpose. They had to protect the sheepfold from, or rather, the sheepfold protects the sheep from predators. There were predators that were out to get the sheep, and in the night when the shepherd is struggling to stay awake and his eyes are becoming heavier and heavier and you're tired, the sheepfold would provide an extra layer of protection so that he would have his sheep safe from predators. He would also keep them safe from theft. You know, carrying a sheep over a wall is not an easy thing. It's easier to steal sheep while they're roaming out in the open. But at night, to keep them safe from theft, there's a wall to keep them together, to keep them safe. It also helped the shepherd to count and inspect the sheep. It's difficult to inspect the sheep while they're roaming around. But in the sheepfold, you have a door which allows the sheep to come out almost one by one. Where you could look at them, inspect them to see if they are doing all right. But finally, it is a means to reinforce the shepherd's authority over the flock. He has the authority to lead them in and to lead them out. They know that under the shepherd's care and in that sheepfold, they do not belong to themselves. They don't rule themselves. They belong to the shepherd under his care. But Jesus doesn't just draw our attention to the sheepfold. He says he is the door to the field. He is the one who actually gives you access into all of those benefits. The fold represents the kingdom of heaven. It represents the church. The flock represents the people of the church. We know this from the prophets of old, especially Ezekiel 34, where God says to the prophet that the people of Israel are like his sheep. The kings of Israel are like the shepherds. The fold is the kingdom of God on earth. That is what Jesus is referring to by this figure of speech. But he is saying to us this morning, just as he said to his disciples back in time, there is no way into the kingdom of heaven except through him. He is the door. If you are trying to access the kingdom through another way, through yourself, through other people, through your own desire to be entertained or just to feel like you belong, if you're trying to enter the kingdom like that, you don't belong there. You shouldn't be in the kingdom. If that is your motivation, you can only come through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the access into the kingdom, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Without him, we don't experience any of the benefits of the kingdom of God, not one. Without him, we are lost and wandering in the world. We don't have our owner. We're just wandering out there. As the Bible says, we're lost without him. Without him as the door, we are exposed to the wild predators of the world, the chief of which being Satan himself, who, as Peter says, prowls around like a roaring lion. Beloved, you must understand that without him, you are lost and exposed. The devil will rip you to shreds if you are left to yourself. He will take you as far away from God as he can possibly do. We are exposed to wild predators in the world. We're exposed to thieves and robbers. Beloved, do you know that there are people out there, unconscionable people, who would lie to you, to your face, and who would deceive you and lead you away from God without batting an eyelid? There are thieves and there are robbers who are trying to steal people away from the church. Whether it be by using worldly philosophies, false religions, or even just people who take part of the Christian message and twist it, creating cults and sects, there are thieves and robbers who are against your souls. They will steal you away from the kingdom. But Jesus will keep us from that if we enter through him. Without him, we have no constant spiritual care. Just as the shepherd through the doorway inspects the sheep, he looks at them, he counts them. Without Jesus, without the door, you don't have any spiritual care. But through him, you have all the care that you would ever need, both now and for eternity. Without him as the door to the sheepfold, we are a law unto ourselves. We're like our own gods, which is the original lie of Satan. Satan tells you that you shouldn't be in a flock. You should figure the world out for yourself. You do what you want. You don't belong in a fold. You're a god. Don't let someone dominate you. Don't let someone own you. You belong to yourself. That's what Satan says. And many people believe that lie. They live it out in every aspect of their lives. You see it in the way they think. You see it in the way they run their homes. You see it in the way they work. They are a law unto themselves, like sheep wandering out in the wilderness. But through Christ, we have a master who is good to us, who loves you more than you understand. He makes us part of an eternal kingdom where we will be with him forever as our creator. And so the question is before us today, as we look at the sheepfold and we wonder where we are we in, are we out, do we belong? Do you love the sheepfold? Do you even love it? Do you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Or do you think that there is some better place to be? You think there's some better society, some better government, some better politician who's going to rule over us and lead us and give us what we want? Or do you love the kingdom and the temple of Christ, the sheepfold? Do you feel at home in the fold? Right now, just as you're sitting around these people, Lord willing, all of you are saved. I don't know. And Lord willing, there will be people added to this church. Do you feel at home in the sheepfold? This is a little sheepfold of Christ. The apple of his eye. He's praying in heaven for you right now because he loves you. This is his sheepfold. This is his church. It doesn't belong to any one of us. It belongs to him. Do you love the sheepfold? Do you feel at home here? You want to be under his care? And do you realize that there is no other way? Look at your own heart. Why are you here? Are you here because of him? Or are you trying to get in another way? Are you like one of those thieves or those robbers that climb over the wall to interfere with the sheep? He is the only door. Do you know how to discern the false doors in the world? There's so many different doors in the world, so many different people trying to lead us into other pastures, right? You know the saying, the grass is greener on the other side. Well, there are people, there are individuals in this world and groups who are telling you every day there's grass greener on the other side. Leave the church. Follow yourself or follow some other group. And they're offering doors which are plans or projects or ideas or benefits. But do you know, it's only one door. Only one kingdom that will outlast all kingdoms. This sheepfold. But then do you thank God that there is a door? You praise Him every day that there is a door to this kingdom for sinners like you and I. People who do not deserve to be there. Praise Him for that. Or do you just prefer wandering out in the world, doing your own thing like others? Finally, have you shown other people the door? Have you shown your family the door? And what I mean by that is not showing them the door and saying, get out. I'm saying, have you shown Jesus Christ as the only entrance into the kingdom of heaven? But then notice, secondly, he is the doorway to the shepherds. It says in verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, the door now helps us to understand and to identify the true shepherds. It doesn't just show us where the fold is, but it shows us the shepherds, the true shepherds. Like the sheepfold, there is only one entrance for true shepherds. In ancient times, the shepherds would actually sleep in the doorway to protect. And the shepherd, of course, is the one who is entrusted to lead, to provide, and to protect the flock. Now, in Jesus' time, and in the Old Testament, there were false shepherds who were taking other doors into the kingdom. They had their own idea of the kingdom. They thought it was for them. And they manipulated the sheep. They lied to the flock. They used the flock for their own purposes, whether it be for financial gain, whether it be for fame and prestige. So you know how the Pharisees used to love being seen. They loved being the ones who were honored. Just like pastors are often spoiled by the congregation. When we get invited to home visits, you get all the lovely food and the great fellowship and the nice coffee. Well, they're people who honestly abuse the flock. As they did in that time, and so they do now. You see these false shepherds who preach the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, abusing the flock for their own interests. All they really want to do is spoil themselves. And beloved, they do not take the door. They do not take Christ as the entrance. They do not have His interests. Jesus speaks about these who do not take the door. He says, they climb in another way. They're thieves and robbers in verse 1. He who enters by the door is the shepherd. Notice what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 34. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, you have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. A sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, "You shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely, because my sheep have become prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." These are the ones that Jesus is referring to in this passage. These are the ones that have not taken the proper door. They've climbed in another way. They have abused the flock. They've only sought their own interests, the fame, the money, the prestige, and they do not care for the people in there. They would not lose an hour of sleep if they didn't see one of the beloved coming to the worship services. They're the ones who do not care. And why does Jesus say they do not care? Because they do not enter by Christ. They do not have Christ's heart. They don't have his mind. They don't think about the flock as Christ does. They don't see the value of every soul in the kingdom of heaven. They do not have his eye. They don't watch the flock. They don't see when a flock is hobbling or one of the members is hungry or thin or malnourished or perhaps has been attacked by a wild predator. They don't care. They just care of themselves. They don't have his hands. They're not willing to get their hands dirty in that hard work. And I'm not saying you're dirty, but you get the point. They're not out there. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to serve the Lord at cost to themselves. They don't like the long hours. They don't like the hot and the cold and the winter, the harsh circumstances. They don't like to be exposed. They don't want to take on predators for the flock, because they have not entered by Christ. They don't have his heart or his interests. They don't think about leading the flock into glory, seeing the young ones grow up converted. They don't want to bury the old saints and lead their memorial services to God's glory. They're not interested. They just want to use the benefits of the kingdom, but not take the responsibilities, because they're not like Christ. They don't have entrance through Christ. They have entrance through their own interests. And because of that, Jesus says they don't have his voice. He says in verse 3, "To him the gatekeeper opens," that is to the shepherd. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now, this is interesting. What Jesus is saying, all true shepherds have his voice. Because they have his mind, they have his heart, they have his interests. But more importantly, what Jesus is saying is that true Christians will not be led astray. If you are a true sheep, you will discern. This preacher, this minister, this elder, he's not the real deal. He hasn't entered by the door. He doesn't have the heart of Christ. He doesn't have the mind of Christ. He doesn't sound like Christ. He hasn't entered the door. Those who enter the door have his voice. And the flock follows. They know who leads them. They know. And what this means, going in and out of pasture, in pastoral ministry and preaching, is when the elder, when the preacher leads the flock out, he is feeding them with the word. He knows exactly what they need to eat, and they know where. He knows where they need to be in the word. The word is like green pasture, ready for the sheep. So the application is primarily to ministers of the word, whether they be pastors, teachers or elders in ministry, hear the Lord. He is saying to you, whether you are in ministry or whether you aspire to ministry, have you entered by Jesus Christ? Do you share his interests? Do you realize that he is the only way and that you need to adopt everything about him to lead the flock in order to be a true minister? Or are you entering for your own interests, whether it be power, money, fame, whatever it may be that tempts you? Are you there through the door, through the proper door? And then to the flock, we ask, whose voice are we really following? Do we discern the true shepherds? Are you able to discern? Or are you as gullible as the masses are out there who just follow any which one they want? And they are there because you find these charismatic preachers all fired up. And they have nice things to say, interesting things, and they know how to tickle the ear of the audience. Are you like those people who run after them in droves? Or do you discern those who have entered by the door in ministry? Jesus tells us that if you are a true sheep, you will not be fooled. You know, many people ask me, when they see these other churches, whether it be a Roman Catholic church or a Mormon church or whatever it may be, they've asked me before, if these people get saved, will they stay there? What does Jesus say? No. They will hear the voice of the shepherd. They will not stay. They will not go after a false shepherd. Finally, beloved, let's look at Christ as the door to salvation. He's not only the door to the sheepfold, which is the kingdom of heaven. He's not only the door to true shepherds. But then thirdly, he is the door to salvation. Look at verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He is the door to salvation. And if you are saved, you'll go in and out and find pasture. See, you've got to realize something about yourself. And that is, you're not just here to find a nice sunny spot. You're not just here to find a nice social group where there's nice tea and eats afterward and nice music, nice fellowship, good friends in the church. You're not just here for that. I'm not just here for that. I'm here because I need to be saved. And I hope that you've realized that about yourself, that you're here not just for your own entertainment, as entertaining as it may be, as beautiful as it may be, as nice as the tea and fellowship may be. You're not here for that. You're here to be saved. If you don't realize that about yourself, you are most likely climbing in through another door. You're climbing over the wall. You're trying to fit your way. You're trying to force your way into the flock. But you do not belong. You need to be saved. I need to be saved. And the Bible teaches us why we need to be saved. It's because we are rebellious against God. Because we are lost in our dead in our sins and our trespasses. There's something in us lurking behind our disobedience, which is what the Bible describes as the flesh, the sinful nature. That part of you that actually despises God. That part of you that does not want to be ruled by God. You want to be ruled by yourself. You want to do what you want to do. I want to do what I want to do. And that doesn't mean we're as bad as we can possibly be. But what it means is that even if I do something good, I don't do it to the glory of God. I do it for me. That's sinful. And so there is something about us in our own rebellion since the fall of Adam, when the devil said to them, you take this fruit, you'll be your own gods. That's when the first flock was scattered. And so we are out there in the world. We're under the tyranny of the devil. We're in our sins. We're led astray. We've been taken captive by false shepherds mimicking the kingdom of heaven. In that state, we need Christ to call us out of the world, to make us his own, so that we do not go the way of the pagan peoples of the world, straight to hell. We need Christ to rescue us from ourselves, because it is not just the world that has driven us out, it's not just the fall that's driven us out, but we enjoy being lost. We need to have our natures changed, brought into the flock by Christ as Savior. That's why we need to be here this morning. You need to be saved. That is what Jesus offers us. And he offers us through the cross. That is actually the great doorway, isn't it? It's almost as if the cross is the handle to the door. The cross is where Jesus does away with our sin, the guilt, the power. And all of that about ourselves which drives us away from God, which alienates us from him. The cross is Jesus suffering so that we might be reconciled to God. It is Jesus purchasing us out of the world. That is the very handle to the door of the sheepfold into salvation. Then notice, he goes on. He doesn't just say, and you will be saved from your sins. But in verse 10, he says something even more beautiful. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Isn't that remarkable? See, Jesus didn't just come into the world to help us survive, to make ends meet, just get through life. What is the kind of life that Jesus wants to give you? Abundant life. Or, to use a more modern, slangy term, life to the fullest. The kind of life that everyone is yearning for. And you see people trying to do that for themselves, don't you? You see the world chasing after an abundant life. Whether it be through the pleasures of this world, they amass pleasures for themselves. Whether it's through wealth, where people amass this power so that they can do what they want, travel the world, do what they want, idly, complacently, just enjoy the world, and they think that's abundant life. Other people think it's just, if I can just get into middle-class suburbia, I will have abundant life. I'll have all that I would ever need. I mean, Woolworths is just down the road. I have all that I would ever need. That is my posture. I don't need anything else. You have people who are trying to substitute the abundance of Christ with other forms of abundance. But Jesus offers us something that is truly abundant. And it's abundant in two ways. It's abundant in duration and abundant in quality. He says that he will give us eternal life. Eternal life. Life forever. It will have no end. But life with no end is not abundant in itself, because you can be tormented forever, as we know. Which brings us to the second point, that this abundant life is a quality of life. You see, after the fall, we were truly mangled. Look at the world. Look at yourself. The depression, the anxiety, the existential crises, bereavement, all of these things which remind us that this life is difficult, it is harsh, it is filled with thorns and thistles, it is not an abundant place. Jesus is saying to us that he will not only give us eternal life, but he will give us a quality of life that is wonderful, that is so different from the way the world experiences it. No more of the suffering of this world. No more of the depression, no more of the anxiety, no more of the confusion in your soul. No more sickness, no more death, no more disease. No more war, no more conflict in your family or in the workplace or among your friends and colleagues, among your neighborhood. No more of that. In fact, the Bible describes it as a new world that he will give us. That will be the perfect fulfillment of this abundant life when we enter as the flock into a new world in which righteousness dwells. Imagine that. That is what Christ is offering. It is a reversal of the fall, of all that we lost in the fall by his grace. We are given it back. Every day is then a struggle in our own hearts and in our own affections. Do you want to be saved? And secondly, are you satisfied with the abundance that Christ offers you? Or are you trying to substitute other things for his abundance? Do you pray with the psalmist in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So our abundance and our salvation begins with our unity with Jesus Christ. Have you entered by the door? Why are you here? Have you entered by him? Do you take him to be your own, as he has taken the church to be his? Are you truly saved by Jesus Christ? And do you know the utter sin and misery of your heart? You know how vulnerable you are to the predators of this world, to yourself. You know that hymn that speaks about our proneness to leave the one we love? You know that about yourself as the flock. You realize the sin and depravity of your heart when you hear sermons week in and week out and there's no change. There's a hardness. There is a waywardness. See, we don't need to learn how to sin from other people. We don't need to learn what it needs to be saved by looking at the others. You need to look at yourself. If you don't see that about yourself, you will not even begin to enter by the door. You need to know you need to be saved and that Jesus is the way to salvation. And then finally, are we satisfied with the abundance of salvation that Jesus offers? You realize that there is nothing this world can offer you that can compare to what Jesus offers you. Nothing. No amount of wealth, no amount of travel, no amount of fame, power, prestige. There is nothing in this world that is as satisfying as the salvation in Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. But I know something is going to happen this week. The world and the flesh and the devil are going to contend for your heart. The world is going to contend for your affections. You're going to turn on your TV and you're going to see things. You're going to listen to things on the radio. You're going to see things on the internet where the world is trying to seduce you to an abundance out there. And they're going to tell you, not in just the things that they say, but in the things that they leave out, that you can actually be satisfied in this life. You can be satisfied by your own selfish ambition and doing what you want. But then you've got to go back to the door and see, by God's grace, the kingdom of heaven lying behind that. And may God grant you a deep, deep affection and love and joy in his kingdom. Do you love that church of Christ? Do you love the people sitting around you? You're part of the visible flock. Have you entered by the door? Why are you here? This is the word. Let's pray together.